We all come to the practice with doubts and questions. But we don't get past our doubts by not asking questions. It's more a matter of learning how to ask the right questions. There's a passage where the Buddha talks about how to overcome doubt. He says it's by paying appropriate attention to the qualities of the mind, to see whether they're skillful or not skillful, dark or bright. And it's the same way that you develop what's called the factor of awakening, that is, analysis of qualities. You bring appropriate attention to the qualities of the mind to see whether they're skillful or not, dark or bright. Now, analysis of qualities is the discernment factor in those factors of awakening. So you replace doubt not by belief, but with discernment. In both cases, dealing with the doubt and developing the discernment, appropriate attention is how you do it. Appropriate attention is basically learning how to ask the right questions, focusing on the questions of what you're doing and the results of what you're doing. The Buddha himself said he got on the right path by noticing that he could divide his thoughts into two sorts: those that were imbued with sensuality, ill will, or cruelty, on the one hand, and those that were imbued with renunciation, non-ill will, or goodwill, and harmlessness, on the other. And he divided the thoughts not in terms of what he liked or didn't like, or what he found entertaining or instructive or interesting. Simply the question was, where do these thoughts lead? And the unskillful side led to all kinds of unskillful behavior. The skillful side led to more skillful behavior. He would try to keep his unskillful thoughts in check, the same way that a cowherd keeps the cows in check during the rainy season. In Asia, during the rainy season, when the rice is growing, you have to be very careful. Your cows don't go into the rice fields, or else there'll be trouble. So if you see them heading toward the rice, you've got to check them, beat them back. As for skillful thoughts, he saw no problem. The case would be like the cows during the dry season. The rice has been harvested. There's no danger of getting into any rice fields, so you can let the cows wander where they like. But even then, you could think skillful thoughts for 24 hours. It tires the mind. When the mind is tired, it's more likely to go back to the unskillful thoughts. This is when he said he should realize he should bring his mind to concentration to get it still. But even getting the mind into concentration requires that you do some questioning, you apply appropriate attention. When the Buddha discusses the factors for awakening, he says that they're fulfilled by following the 16 steps of breath meditation. And in the 16 steps, the questions of discernment have to do with, one, what is your state of your mind right now? Is it in balance or out of balance? If you find that it's out of balance, what do you do to bring it back in? For instance, if you're feeling depressed, irritated, down, what can you do to gladden the mind? If the mind is scattered, what can you do to make it more solid? The 16 steps also give you some advice on those questions. It requires first that you understand the process of fabrication in the present moment. The word fabrication, sankhara, comes in three types: bodily, verbal, mental. Bodily is the breath. Verbal is the way you talk to yourself before you break into speech. Technically, this is directed thought and evaluation. And the mental is perceptions and feelings, perceptions of the labels you apply to things. Feelings are feelings of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. So if you want to gladden the mind or steady the mind, get rid of unskillful qualities, develop skillful ones, you have to work first with your feelings and perceptions. What images do you hold in mind? Like when you're dealing with the breath, what kind of image do you have of the breath? It's good to think of the breath as the energy flowing throughout the body, down through the nerves, down through the blood vessels, out to the tips of the fingers, out to the tips of the toes, all around. Because that conception or that perception of the breath allows feelings of ease to spread through the body. Makes the body a more pleasant place to stay. When the body is pleasant, the mind gets into a better mood. It's not so irritable. And you can both gladden the mind and steady the mind by making the body feel pleasant through the breath. So you've been working with all three types of fabrication there. First you have the perception, and then you work with bodily fabrication, the way you breathe, based on that perception, and then you give rise to a feeling of pleasure. You allow that feeling to spread. In the meantime, you're talking to yourself about this. You're noticing what works, what doesn't work. And that's how you develop your discernment, and that's how you overcome doubt. John Fuang had a nice passage where he said, if you have doubts about things, just ask yourself, is the breath coming in, is the breath going out, or is it still? Something that's right there. And if you can doubt this, then he said you're going to doubt everything in life. So at least you have something that's really sure right here. You know what the breath is doing. But you may not be so clear as to whether it's really comfortable or not. Well, you experiment. Try different ways of breathing. Try different ways of conceiving the breath. Thinking of it coming in, maybe not through the nose, think of it coming in through the eyes, the ears, down from the top of the head, coming in through the forehead, coming in from behind, coming into the back of the neck, going down the spine. When you think of the breath in those ways, what does it do to the sensation of breathing? Or you can breathe in, you can think of the fact that even though the air is coming in through the nose and into the lungs, the energy that allows that to happen is actually spreading from the body itself. It can spread from the area around the navel, the area around the breastbone, any place in the body, actually. And if you hold that perception in mind, what does it do? How does that affect the way you breathe? Does give rise to a sense of ease? Okay, maintain that perception and maintain that kind of breathing. And you find that it has a calming effect on the mind, gladdening it if it's been feeling irritated, steadying it if it's been feeling scattered. And you're beginning to understand the process by which you create your experience of the present moment through these processes of fabrication. It's in this way that discernment can lead to concentration. That's one of the basic themes of those factors for awakening. They start with mindfulness and then discernment, the analysis of qualities factor, and they end up in concentration. So they basically show how, starting with mindfulness, you use your discernment to get the mind to settle down. And the Buddha has other lists where it happens the other way around. You get the mind focused to be mindful, and then you develop concentration, and then the discernment comes. It can happen either way. Different people will find that the processes vary from day to day, actually. And the ultimate level, of course, is that discernment develops your concentration, concentration develops your discernment. So even though these factors in the different lists come in a row, the later factors turn around and help the ones earlier on in the list. This way they all work together. They got the mind in the proper state, because that was that original question. What is the state of your mind? And you're doing this so you can get the mind in the proper state, where you have no doubts about what's going on in the mind. You can see it clearly. You begin to see it so clearly that you're going to understand how the mind creates unnecessary suffering for itself. Because that's the question of the Four Noble Truths. Why is there suffering? It's craving. Where is the craving? The craving is in the mind. So the questions of appropriate attention come back to the questions of the Four Noble Truths. The realization that we're suffering not because of things outside, but because of things that the mind is doing. And the meditation is to get us more sensitive to exactly what the mind is doing, where it's skillful, where it's not. So we can stop creating that suffering. Discernment or wisdom is pragmatic. We're not here to discover great truths about the world outside. We're here to understand why we're causing suffering and how we can stop. It's a practical question. It's in a practical form of discernment, of wisdom. I was reading recently a footnote on the factors for awakening in a book. And the author was saying that the factor of analysis of qualities is the wisdom faculty. And they said, and yet it's defined as looking into what's skillful and what's not skillful in your behavior. I was surprised at the word yet there. That somehow understanding what's skillful and not was not a matter of wisdom. That's what the author seemed to be implying. But that's not the case at all. Discernment is a quality of understanding what's skillful and what's not, because our minds are primarily active. It's because our activity is based on ignorance that we create suffering. If we can learn how to base our activity on knowledge, discernment, we don't suffer. And that's what the practice is all about.